All right, welcome back. It's Tuesday, time for another marathon with Dr. Henry Nyman, a report, an analysis, an overview, an underview of some of the strangeness that continues to beset what's left of the nation. Henry, welcome back. I understand the president had another news conference today. Am I correct? I never watched them. Sorry, but did he or didn't he?
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't see the whole thing. So I can't tell you a lot about it, but he did get called out on Twitter today. So that's probably the biggest news. So, they basically aren't letting him run free anymore. They actually tagged his post. So this is the first time. So he's not allowed to just, you know, say whatever he wants unchallenged. And so they put up.
So they had a block on for, in other words, you couldn't respond and comment on his statements. Is that what you're saying?
No, you could. No, you could. But they did his statement that mailing voting will lead to fraud. And so they linked others. I think it was CNN and Washington Post that basically cited the figures for mail-in voting, that it wasn't anything new. It hasn't been a problem in the past. They've looked at this. He said they were sending, California was sending out to everybody. They said California is only sending out ballots to registered voters. And that, and so his examples of fraud were basically, not vulnerabilities of the mail. And I mean he votes by mail. so he's kind of setting
details.
So they put those links up, and this is the first time he's been called out. Others have complained that what he posts on Twitter is personal attacks and basically lies. They call them falsehoods or
I know they're just afraid to use that L word.
Misleading.
Misleading, uninformed, all sorts of things, but they will not call them lies. They're lies. Go ahead.
I mean, on the voting, like I said, it's a fact as to who got, I mean, he started targeting California, and it's not a subject of debate as to who it was mailed to. The mail-in ballots were mailed to registered voters. And he says, well, the mail, that they were mailed to everybody in the state. And that, they're going to start collecting them, and they're going to send them in, and they're going to have, all these ballots that are, sent to dead people or sent to, the fake accounts or whatever. So he's saying there's going to be fraud based upon these things that didn't happen. And so they link these other comments that give specifics as to what California did and how it compared to what other states have done. And quite a few states actually do have mail-in voting, including Florida, which Trump used because that's his new residence now. So he voted by mail in Florida. He always votes by mail.
Ours votes by mail. I accidentally dropped mine in the circular file though. So, but anyhow, they do vote by mail here. Here's the deal. Trump dismisses today. He dismisses his own government's guidance about masks as being politically correct. And the subtitle on this one, this is out of a New York publication, Trump's latest unhinged news conference illustrates why he's no longer doing daily coronavirus briefings. President Trump's impromptu news conference late today, Tuesday afternoon, began with him musing about taking insulin just for fun.
Yeah.
And ended with him explaining his opposition to mail-in voting by characterizing voting as an honor, never mind it's a right under the Constitution. This is just nutty time. Here, let me read a little bit more here. Just a little bit more. The president is hopelessly confused about how masks work. The first question Trump fielded was from Jeff Mason of Reuters, who asked him to explain a retweet he posted on Monday seemingly mocking presumptive Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden for wearing a mask during a public appearance earlier in the day. Trump's response indicated he's deeply confused about how masks work. Trump said, well, he, meaning Biden, was standing outside with his wife, perfect conditions, perfect weather. When they're inside, they don't wear masks. And so I thought it was very unusual he had one on. You know, honest to God, he's sounding more like senile Biden all the time. He really is. This is bad. I think he's losing
it. Most of his statements and thoughts are fact-free, and they've been that way for a long time.
Fact-free, and, good. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I've said he's anti-science. You know, some of it's deliberate, and some of them, he's just it's clueless. And he doesn't understand what the masks are for. They're really to protect others from you. And he just, you know, babbles on, and it has nothing to do with reality. And he does that all the time. And this thing about he's got to start injecting insulin now, I guess, to counteract the Lysol or whatever, but
counteract the Lysol that he injected earlier. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. You realize why he's talking about injecting insulin, even though he doesn't need it. He has no idea whether he needs it or not, because he still hasn't done his physical. He started on a physical, which was, you know, some bogus explanation.
We don't know. He didn't start on it. He was rushed there for a reason.
Right. So he was rushed to the hospital, said he's going to finish it up. And
6 months ago.
Yeah, you know, what he said he got done at the hospital, they can do at the White House. I mean, he's got a medical, you know, personnel there that routine tests. He doesn't have to go into a lab to do that, especially for something like drawing blood or doing a nasal swab or whatever. You know, he gets it done on site in the White House. They don't take a whole entourage of his, you know, hundreds of people to make sure he can get in and out of the hospital safely. You know, it's ridiculous. But the insulin, the reason. I mean, do you know why he's talking about?
No, tell me.
Maybe taking insulin?
No, tell me why. This I don't
know.
Well,
he's losing the over 65 vote. And he's behind. He's on the verge of losing Florida. Because if you don't win the over 65s in Florida, you don't win Florida.
No, that's right.
And so he used to have a large lead for over 65. Now he's underwater for over 65. Mainly because those are his soldiers. They can die so they can save the economy from the hole that he's dug with. But in order to win back the over 65, he's going to reform prescription drug costs. And his reform, I think, is largely limited to insulin, because the cost of insulin has crept higher because of the, you know, the manufacturers just kept charging more and more. You know, if you've got insurance coverage, you know, it's not that bad. But if you don't, then it gets so that people are having trouble affording the cost of the insulin because it's gone higher. It hasn't really gone higher for any good reason. I mean, insulin is the same today that it's always been. It's not that hard to make. It's not that expensive.
So he's pitching to the older voters, I see.
Right, right. And so he's saying that maybe he'll take insulin because others are taking insulin and having trouble affording it. And he's highlighting his reforms and prescription drug costs, which I think are highlighting the high cost of insulin right now. So he's going to bring insulin costs back in line with legislation or something. And so now he's got to go and take that along with his malaria.
Hydroxy. But if he takes more hydroxy, he'll be wearing a toupee.
Yeah.
He's losing.
He says he stopped that. It was just prophylactically. And he didn't get COVID, so it must work.
Good enough for me.
And WHO has dropped it. They're not including it in the clinical trials that they're supporting because it's unethical to continue to use that for COVID because it's not that it's not showing any benefit. It's that they're dying at a higher frequency mainly because of the side effects with atrial fibrillation.
Here's a couple quickies for you. These are good. Biden and Trump are now beginning to sling some little zingers at each other, and these are getting to be funny. You gotta laugh a little bit, right? Biden accuses Trump of stoking deaths and being falsely masculine. Those are quotes. And then he called Trump a fool. And then Donald mocked Biden for wearing a face mask in public.
I think he called him a fool about the face mask.
He did.
He is. I mean, the face masks are, I've said that he sets a poor example, but it's way beyond that. He's basically making the pandemic a political, argument.
He's politicized division. It, weaponized
right,
it.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just making things worse because I mean, the masks are ridiculous from two points of view. One is it's political, whether you're wearing one or not. And the other is he still hasn't got the right levels of PPEs. So the CDC isn't recommending wearing an N95, which offers protection going both ways. It protects others from you, and it protects you from others. And instead, they're saying, use a scarf or
anything.
Or anything
cloth. Face covering.
Right.
That's
anything
right.
In cloth so that you are not infecting others, but that's not offering any protection for you. And if you're going to wear a mask, you might as well wear an N95 and have protection going both ways.
Couldn't agree
than
more.
Just have a mask going one way. And the only reason that they're, because the mask before the pandemic, in quantity anyway, for hospitals, they were like 70 cents a piece. The price has gone up. But it's not that they were that expensive over whatever else is substituted. So cost-wise, it was about the same. It was just availability that was an issue. And they're also still recommending cloth really based on availability. They say, well, you don't really need it. But in places like New York, maybe not so much today as a month or two ago, you definitely could have used an N95 mask almost anywhere you're going in public because there was virus everywhere. And it is starting to do that in some of the Midwestern and southeastern states now. Those numbers are going up. And they're going up in part because of, food processing plants that basically are totally out of control. I think the number has gone from
15,000
to, I'd heard like 11,000, but it's gone from 3,000 to 11,000 in,
well, at least
in less than a month or so. And it's probably higher than that, but they're not releasing the data. I mean, the companies are doing the testing and they're withholding that information. So exactly how high they are in the plants aren't clear, but, the states that seem to be going up now are states that either have a significant outbreaks in food processing plants or in prisons in some cases, because they've got a huge prison population in a given county, and that they've got the virus spreading there, and it's not under control, and it's being brought into and out of the prisons by the workers there. So it's not that it's in the prisons and it's a problem just for the prisoners, it's for the whole community. So the numbers continue to go up. On one of the services, Worldometer, U.S. deaths did cross the 100,000 mark. They currently have it at 100,572. A few of the other ones have it within a few hundred of 100,000. They'll go over tomorrow. I mean, the reason they didn't all go over today is because of the holiday. So they're, technically, most of the states, the numbers that they're reporting today are the numbers that were that happened yesterday. So yesterday was a holiday; they weren't really recording them on time, and so the numbers today reflect how many. Mostly, it seems to the death lag. So they had a little over 600 deaths reported today, and that's kind of a weekend number. Yesterday it was 500, and the day before it was just under 600, and then before that it got back to the weekdays, and it was generally between 1100 and 1500 each day now.
So we got 100,000. All right. But then, what are they going to celebrate this like New Year's Eve midnight on the networks? Is that what they're going to do?
Well,
and they decide.
It's 100,000. Well, technically, we hit 100,000 about a month ago, and the reason we're talking about 100,000 today instead of a month ago is when people were dying back in March, they weren't really testing much. And
don't test, don't tell. That's right.
And all you really have to do is look at the daily death toll. And the daily death tolls are pretty consistent. They're a little higher during the flu season than they are during the summer.
So what you're saying is all those dead people in March never got counted.
Yeah, there's a big jump. I mean, if you look at the U.S., it's a jump that a dramatic spike in March of people dying, period. So the number dying from COVID are so high that they go and they produce a peak in total deaths in the United States. And they do the same peak in virtually every country, especially like in Europe or even in China. And that's how many people died. So the number of people that died based upon how many are represented by that peak, it's about 130,000, not 100,000 today. The total as of today is on. So there's 30,000 more that died from COVID than have been recorded. And
that makes perfect sense.
And they would have hit 100,000 earlier. But that is one of the pieces of information that that these statements that the case fatality rate for COVID and flu are similar is pure nonsense. It's just apples and oranges. Anybody that's posting that is just an unreliable source. And they're either unreliable because they have no idea what they're talking about, or they're deliberately lying. There is no comparison between the COVID deaths and flu deaths. Flu deaths don't create this type of peak. Outpaces war dead. you can look at these charts of daily deaths, and they're relatively smooth. You don't get a jump like this unless you have something like a major pandemic, like 1918-like pandemic. And this peak that jumps out, whichever state you want to, I mean, whichever country you want to look at, is the preview. it's not the real pandemic. That's going to happen in the fall. This is what it kind of looks like. This is what it looks like when it starts. This is the beginning of the pandemic. This isn't the end of the pandemic.
We've only had 2% at the most infected.
It's called a herald wave.
That's right.
It's just heralding the pandemic. It happened in 1918. It happened in 2009. So what you saw in the spring was nothing compared to what you saw in the fall. And so the comparison of COVID with flu are just stupid.
There's a totally different kind of tracking. There is no comparison.
And there's no comparison in the way they're counted.
I have a question. Go ahead and finish. Yeah.
The deaths are 30% lower than they really are. Mm-hmm. Is that the deaths are based upon lab confirmation. The flu deaths are not based on any lab confirmation. They're based on a small number
symptoms.
Of testings that are done. And then mm-hmm. it's based upon the dead that had flu-like symptoms based upon a small sample size. And mm-hmm. extrapolated to the whole population. The COVID deaths are based upon every one of them is lab confirmed. And then the denominator is also apples and oranges. I mean, some of these confirmed cases now in COVID that go in the denominator are people that had antibodies. They're people that were asymptomatic. They're contacts that were positive for the virus, but they're asymptomatic. There's nobody testing how many people had the flu and are asymptomatic, or how many people had the flu and are mild cases.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at symptomatic. They're not all being tested. A small sample is being tested, and then it's being extrapolated to the whole population. So it's two totally different data sets. The flu is not lab confirmed. It's an extrapolation. And the COVID is lab confirmed, and it includes people that aren't sick. If you want to do a comparison, apples to apples, you would do a case fatality rate as was done for SARS. With SARS, SARS stands for severe acute respiratory distress or syndrome. And it requires that the patient meets the case definition, which includes lab confirmed mm-hmm. pneumonia. And they're in the hospital. These are sick patients. And then they look at the sick patients, which they confirmed that they have the virus. So they've got the virus, and occasionally when they suspect it's a case because it's got all the symptoms, but they're testing negative, then they'll resort to an antibody test to see if indeed they've been, they were infected. And they'll do that after the fact.
Right. Here's here's my contribution to that. CDC today came down pretty hard on antibody tests. Antibody tests used to determine if people have, just for our listeners, have been infected in the past with COVID-19 might be wrong up to 50% of the time. So said the U.S. CDC today. So if they're really 50% false negative or positive in terms of what they're seeking, what the hell good are they?
Yeah, well, it depends on what the results are and what the population is. So if you're positive, but you're in a population that's got a low incidence, then that's probably a true positive. But if you're positive when there's a high level of virus, then that might not mean that much. And same thing with the negative. So it kind of depends. I mean, if you're negative and there's not much virus around, well, there's no telling. That might be accurate. That might not be, because they're not at 100%. Some of these are only at 90% accuracy for sensitivity.
Now, CDC says that the tests are not accurate enough to use to make important policy decisions with. So that's what they said.
Right. Because what you'd want to know, and I gave the example why even if you do have, even if the data is accurate, it may not give you the right answer. And the question is, if if you've got antibodies because you've been exposed, does that mean that you can go
infectious
to work and not really worry about getting infected because you've already got immunity? And the problem with a respiratory virus like this is the same problem with flu, that you can have antibodies, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to get the flu because you don't have enough and it doesn't last long enough and the virus changes. And it'll be the same thing for COVID because it's a virus that can recombine. It recombines a lot. It can easily change. And if you have herd immunity, or if you yourself have immunity, or if you actually have a vaccine, that puts selection pressure on the virus. And so if the virus basically does a recombination and changes the spike protein a little bit so that the existing antibodies don't recognize it, that particular version will become dominant very quickly if there's a fair amount of antibody immunity out there. Now, right now, there isn't all that much immunity out there. And so in most places, that's not going to put a whole lot of pressure on. Although there may be more than people realize. I mean, these things always kind of peak. And it always makes me wonder if the reason they're peaking is that there is more immunity out there than they realize, and that there's enough that even though they're only measuring it at some relatively low number, there's enough concentrated in the area where the virus is trying to spread, because the virus in general doesn't last that long in an individual host. I mean, the host either dies or develops a strong enough immune response, so the virus dies and can't continue to maintain its presence in the host, and it can't really replicate without having a host. So if there's enough people around the person that's infected that already have immunity, and the virus can't transmit to a new host, then it's going to fade away, and that's generally what happens. But that's why I wouldn't be surprised if the virus that returns in the fall or emerges in the fall. It apparently isn't even going to be a return anymore. I mean,
no,
the numbers are already up there.
We plateaued.
The numbers, right, and it's staying at this high level, and it's actually starting to creep up now that the restrictions are coming off, and so
yeah, as we predicted,
part of the plateau is flattening the curve. The limiting the exposure has kind of kept it at a level, but it's kind of kept it at a relatively high level. And now, as the restrictions are lifted and there's more people in close contact, mm-hmm. Then the virus is going to spread, and those numbers are going to go up. And what's showing up, that if you kind of look at the actual data, it shows that the numbers are going up in the Midwest and in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're going up in the South, I mean, there's serious problems in Montgomery, Alabama's run out of ICUs now. They've got Arkansas issues with the numbers going up quickly, and one of the hottest spots in the country is actually in the Washington, D.C. area, which is the coolest spot in the world. And so these numbers are going up where it's warm. It's not like, it's going to disappear in April because it gets hot and the virus doesn't do that well, or it gets, disappears whatever month Trump picked. It just isn't. And so the numbers are staying flat or increasing. And, there's plans we're gonna play sports in the fall. And so the schools are starting to give permission for the teams to start practicing. So the teams are going to provide an opportunity for the virus to take hold and spread, because they're going to start having more interactions with student athletes.
Absolutely.
And that's going to start in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to start June 1st or so. And the schools in the South start, I believe it's probably still the same. I remember in 2009, they started August 1st. And that's when the pandemic started to become much more obvious. It slowed down over the summer, but it didn't really. The reporting slowed down because the summer camps, called it a mystery disease, and they didn't want to acknowledge that they had swine flu in their summer camps. And the same thing will happen this summer. There'll probably be a lot more restrictions on summer camps than there were in 2009. But there'll still be activity, opportunities for the virus to spread in those camps. And it'll spread as, different sports are talking about, they're going to have, games in stands, maybe with or without fans. And, they have to start getting ready for that fairly soon. And so, There will just be more opportunities in addition to just the sports. It's all these states. States are ignoring what's on the ground. They're ignoring the fact that their numbers are already going up, and they're just kind of looking at the calendar and say, "Well, we're going to ease this off, and we're going to ease that off," and it's not going to work if the virus is around. I mean, you got some, well, I'll call them whatever you want. Some people that just ignore this and did that over this last weekend. And there were plenty of footage of crowds at the beach or at parks or wherever, didn't have masks, were densely populated. And there was little doubt that there was virus passing there, and you know, there's a 2-3-4 week lag before you're going to really start seeing those numbers. But those numbers are going to go up. And so the virus is probably not going to disappear. It's going to be hanging around. And yeah. It's not going to be sure. Wait till fall.
Two things.
Go ahead.
One, at this point, what do you think is a valid parameter for a CFR on the current status of the virus in this culture, in this country? What's the case fatality rate? What's your best guess?
Well, it depends what your definition of a case is. I mean, if you're gonna count a case as somebody that was infected but was asymptomatic,
mm-hmm.
or somebody that was infected and had a very mild disease that lasted a couple of days and they never really saw a doctor.
See, that makes it right. Kind of have to count all cases that are positive in terms of the test? Anyone who tests positive is a case, no matter if they have symptoms or not. Isn't that one way to do it? I don't know how else we do it.
That
frankly.
Is one way to do it if you want a really low number. and you don't really have anything to compare it to because that's not how it's done for flu. Flu did not.
What's the cutoff then? Hospitalization?
If you look at it, the same way they did SARS, that was a number that they could measure.
Okay.
Because they could say, okay, if you come in the hospital and you've got pneumonia and you've got this virus, this is the odds that you're going to survive. And it was around 10%. And mm-hmm. that was all comers. It was 10% for the ones that were over 65. It was above 10%. It was closer to 20%. And if you took younger people that were in their 20s, it was well below 10%. It was probably below 1%. It was relatively rare. So it was age dependent. But if you just wanted a general number, SARS was 10%. This virus is above SARS. So it's in the 15%. So if you want people that have pneumonia, are in the hospital, that overall 15% die. And if you want to take olders, it's probably closer to 20%. So that's the ballpark that it is. If you're going to look at something that you can actually measure with any type of accuracy and compare it to something else like flu. I don't know what the exact number is because they don't even keep those numbers, but you know, you could come up with a number for flu. But what I'm saying is the vast majority of flu cases are not lab confirmed. They only test a small percentage mm-hmm. of the cases. And in fact, I would be virtually certain that the many of the flu cases that were identified in February and March on the basis of flu-like symptoms and died were really COVID cases, that they were misdiagnosed because they weren't tested. They weren't tested for either virus. They just had flu-like symptoms and they died and they counted them in the tally for flu cases, for flu deaths. Because they had the symptoms and they died. It's not they had the symptoms, they died, and they were positive for influenza. The vast majority are not tested for influenza, even fatal cases. They don't all die in the hospital. A lot of them die in nursing homes, and they don't test COVID cases in nursing homes. So it is significantly higher than flu. Flu does not create these peaks that COVID did. That all you have to do is look at how many people died on a given day in the United States. And instead of getting this nice smooth curve that you normally get year after year, you have a great big jump that happened in March when COVID cases were on the rise. And you can look at the exact same data for countries in Europe, and the exact same thing happened, that the number of deaths increased. And you can take countries like Russia, who are trying to hide their deaths. So their death toll is like a tenth of what the U.S. is, their fatality rate.
Right.
And the only reason it's low is because they're taking patients that are COVID positive and saying, oh, they died of a heart attack. Oh, they died of renal failure. Oh, they died of liver failure. Oh, you know, and they come up with this whole list of categories. So that all of these things that they come up with for COVID cases, they're all at record highs. They all have, oh, we had a dramatic increase in heart attacks, you know, last month. We had a dramatic increase
Is it not true that the exact opposite argument could be made over here, where doctors were told to list as cause of death?
No, that is a lie. That is utter nonsense.
Okay, let's talk about that, because it's out there. A lot of people believe it. So tell us why it's a lie. That's fine.
I just told you why it's a lie. You can take a look at the curve of who died. And all of a sudden, they all died when COVID showed up. Not because the doctors was told to call them a COVID case. They were dead. These are deaths. You've got a baseline curve. This is a big peak above the baseline curve. It wasn't because everybody had a heart attack, because COVID was around and they read it in the paper and they dropped over dead. It's utter nonsense.
I mean, that really didn't happen? Gosh. All right. Okay.
They really died. And you don't need anybody to call anything. All you have to do is look at the deaths. Day by day, that's real data. You don't need a doctor. You don't need anybody go and say, oh, that was a coincidence. They had a heart attack. When they had these cases, you could go on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was loaded with doctors. And you know what the doctors were saying? I just got this COVID case. I did an EKG. It looks like they're having a heart attack. And they said, yeah, that's what they look like. That's what it does to their hearts. Their hearts look like they're failing. That's what they look like when they have the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And they die because it attacks the heart. But they didn't have a heart attack.
That's something that, you know, Henry, I don't want to get off the subject, but that really bothers me. When we first came across that, was it, I don't know, 2 months ago? Something like that. That the Chinese were reporting heart damage, and then they began reporting it over here. But that story went away. No one talks about that anymore. This virus can go into any major organ system. Go ahead.
Right. That's because it ruins their story. There's, everything's called COVID. COVID's got a polybasic plebiscite.
Any major organ system, because it can go to
different
cells.
Organs.
You were the first to bring that out. Correct.
They can get in. Yeah. They can get in, and they cause all kinds of problems.
And no one talks about it. Except us.
They do talk about it. They go, this isn't COVID. It looks like a heart attack.
You know, that's what you're saying. I got it.
Right.
They're not talking about the COVID connection, though.
They're changing the narrative. Right. They're basically saying, you're saying that just because they had the virus and they had a heart attack, that it caused the heart attack. That's what they're doing. You can go to Kansas, okay? If you go to Kansas State Labs, they've got two columns. They've got deaths with COVID, and they got deaths caused by COVID.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they go and they take 20-30% of the cases that died, and they say it's a coincidence. They died of something else. They just happened to have COVID, but we had a doctor say that they died of a heart attack, and therefore they're not a COVID death.
Okay. I got more questions here. We don't have a lot of time. Just let me jump ahead then here. When we get into sports, stadiums, crowds, and Donald wants his convention, he's threatening North Carolina. I'm going to move it to Florida unless you give me my rally, my big rally. We're going by the election. It's all going to be mail in. Nobody's going to be going out because there are going to be so damn many cases. That's what it looks like is going to happen. We only have 2% of the populace that may have been exposed to this at this time. I don't know. Some people say 3. I don't know what it is, but it's small. That means 96 to 97% of the population is waiting for a visit from Mr. Coronavirus or Ms. Coronavirus, whatever it may be. That's where we are.
Right. The only reason the curve is flattened right now is because of social distancing. And that's the only reason that this number, this big jump, isn't much larger in the spring, is because of social distancing. So it slowed things down and it kept the number of cases below where it would have been. But the flip side of that is that there's a lot of people that live in the United States that have not been infected with the virus, and they're susceptible. And from what I can tell, there's people that were infected with the virus, and they're still susceptible because they had a mild case. So they did have symptoms. They get tested. They were positive, but they don't necessarily have enough immunity to keep from being infected again, even in the summer, because they get exposure that if the restrictions are lifted, and then it'll be even worse in the fall. people are going to be inside more.
Of course.
Just being inside more increases the likelihood that this virus is going to spread, because it does.
That's right.
The outdoors and the sunlight do help, and that's one of the reasons it normally goes down in the summer.
Everything's arrayed against Donald's fantasies. That's the problem.
This virus is transmissible enough, and it can infect these cases as easily as it does. I mean, the example I gave yesterday was this guy. He's got a ton of virus, and he was sick for about 2 days. So he would have been transmitting when he was asymptomatic, and he would have been transmitting after he recovered. And had he not gone to the lab to check out what his titer was, to see if his titer had gone up from when he was infected in April.
Right.
He wouldn't have known that he had the virus. He would have known he had a cough, and he would have known it only lasted a day or two. And he'd say, well, I don't know what that is. You know, maybe it was the virus or maybe it wasn't the virus. And he would figure whatever it was, he's over it. It only lasted 2 days. He's not coughing anymore. He never had a fever. And he would just assume, if he didn't have a diagnosis, that he wasn't infectious. You know, the fact that his sister, I don't even know, as far as I know, his sister and mother still don't have symptoms. They're positive. I think they will get symptoms. But until they do, he wouldn't have any idea that he had COVID, and even if they did show symptoms that they were mild, he wouldn't know that they had COVID. He might have had a summer cold. You know, he doesn't know what he had. It coughed. It only lasted a couple of days, and he feels fine. And he felt fine when he had a ton of virus. So the virus is out there. The reason the curve got flattened is people weren't. The people were basically keeping to themselves. They weren't moving out and about. And now they're starting to do that. And the numbers are going to start to go up. And then if classes start up August 1st, the virus will be raging by early fall. You know, and the idea, and exactly what you said, people are not going to go to the polls to vote. They'd be crazy to go to the, to stand in line at a poll for,
no, they'll have virtual
at a polling
conventions.
Station for a right. half an hour or something with right. people all around them and go inside somewhere to go and fill out a ballot at a voting machine and
wow.
in a little room that somebody else was just
yeah.
there.
I can guarantee everyone this is going to be potentially the wildest, craziest time in American presidential politics. Coming up.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
No,
Henry, thanks.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay. Very good. Good talking. Take care.
All right. Okay. There goes Henry. And there goes Jeff. And we'll be right back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. Thanks for being here. Take care.